Hey, it's Melvin. Before we jump into today's podcast session, just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Alma for supporting today's podcast session. If I ever went back into private practice, to be honest, I'd think less about squeezing in more clients and more about building the systems within that practice that actually supports the life that I want to live. As you know, when you're in private practice, it's rarely about just seeing clients. It's all of the other administrative things that often consume the most time. In fact, after now 11 years of building STC, I've learned that sustainability isn't just about the work that you do, it's how you go about doing it. That is why I'd seriously consider partnering with Alma. They help you confidently accept insurance, and their all-in-one EHR simplifies everything from scheduling to documentation to the most important thing, which is getting paid on a timely manner. You can learn more and check it out over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. And if you go through that link, STC listeners get 2 months absolutely free so that you can see if it makes sense for your practice. That's over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you're doing well, having an incredible day. So the reality is most podcasts that are out online never actually make a dollar. Not because the host of that podcast is bad or not because even their strategy is off. This episode specifically is for anyone who wants to build a podcast that lasts, but actually pays off as well. I've been podcasting since March of 2015 with Selling the Couch. We've had very close to 2 million downloads. I think we're around 1.97 million downloads now. This year, we have done $10,000 a month in terms of podcast sponsorships, and 5 of those 6 spots sold out for this year. And more than that, over the past 11 years, I have designed my business as with podcasting as sort of our central backbone, but I've been able to now, I would say, work about 3 days a week on Selling the Couch. So Mondays and Tuesdays primarily, and then a little bit on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. But this took 11 years, and most of the ROI with podcasting shows up late, or it's even invisible. And the core ideas that I want to talk to you about today is podcasting ROI comes in 3 forms. So one is trust. Trust is basically quiet compounding credibility. And second is longevity. How do you outlast everyone else that might be podcasting? And then the third is what I call assets. So turning episodes into evergreen infrastructure. So we'll dive into all 3 of those. So the first one I said wanted to share was trust. And ROI is that you can't track, but you shouldn't ignore. So this has taken me an extremely long time to figure this out, but for the longest time, I used to measure ROI on just finances. And what I've come to realize is there are a lot of other metrics beyond that. In fact, one of the biggest and strongest things with podcasting is the relational nature of podcasting. You've probably experienced this, whether on this podcast or if you listen to other podcasts as well. As you listen to more and more of these podcasts, you start to form a connection and a trust with that podcast host, especially if you like what they're sharing and enjoy what they're sharing. Here are some examples of what I call like trust ROI that I have seen with Selling the Couch. So for example, someone joins your coaching offer after 2 years of listening silently. And when you ask them what made them join, the answer is usually, hey, I listened to your podcast for a number of years, or I've been a longtime listener and I loved what you had to say. It wasn't that they necessarily saw your social media posts. They weren't maybe even a part of your email list, but there's something there about that sort of silent trust that's being built. A second example could be a sponsor reaches out to you because they already know your voice. This has happened to me several times where podcast sponsors will say, Mel, you know, I feel like when we get on this first call, I feel like I already know you, or I feel like we already know you. We've been listening to your podcast for a long time. We love the way that you share and think about stuff. Or it could be colleagues refer clients based on a podcast familiarity. This is particularly, I think, true if you are gearing and wanting to fashion your podcast as a way to generate private practice clients and referrals and all of those kind of things. Again, I think the short of it is this kind of ROI compounds over time. The second thing I wanted to share is around longevity, which is the idea that most people in the podcasting space quit too soon. In many ways, I can't believe we've lasted 11 years. We've had over 400 episodes of this podcast. And the average podcast dies after somewhere between 7 and 10 episodes in. This term is actually called a pod fading, and the pod fading is real. And so the thing I would more than encourage to actually get the ROI on the podcast is to create a moat, which is, how do you keep going with the podcast in a sustainable way? I've shared this on other episodes, but you know, in the initial stages of selling the couch, especially the first year, I felt like I had to release episodes almost every week. I think we released it every week except the week of Thanksgiving and then right between Christmas and the end of the year. And while we released a lot of episodes and got downloads and all of those things, my goodness, the amount of burnout that I had was, I almost quit the podcast even, you know, less than 1 year into the journey. And so I think from year two, what I really started thinking about is, okay, I enjoy this medium. I enjoy being able to present in this way, but how do I make this sustainable for me? And so this has undergone a lot of different iterations, but the one thing I've really, in this recent season, is I've really said, you know, how do I design this around our daughter's school schedule and just sort of the energy that certain times of the year bring? So for example, I used to podcast in November and December, or at least in November, up until Thanksgiving. And then I realized the weeks before Thanksgiving were already like really chaotic with, you know, sometimes things at school, whether it's like Thanksgiving potlucks or field trips or, you know, us even getting ready for the holidays. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to be really sustainable. And it was really hard. And I don't know, to be completely honest, I don't know if you can always do it right at the beginning stages, but really starting to think about, okay, what is the schedule that makes the most sense for my season of life that will allow me to sustain the podcast? Before we jump back into today's podcast session, if you're in solo private practice, you already know the highs and the lows. 1 month you're full, the next month referrals start to trickle down and slow down. You're juggling therapy and admin and marketing. And if you're private pay, you're constantly wondering where the next client is coming from. If I ever went back into private practice, honestly, I would build a little bit differently. I'd focus less on being everything and more on creating systems that support me and ultimately don't drain me. Because if I do that, then I show up better for my clients and better for my loved ones. That's why, honestly, I'd seriously consider checking out Alma. Alma helps you confidently accept insurance and gives you the tools to simplify your private practice. Scheduling, documentation, getting paid on time, and even continuing education opportunities. You also get access to a network of like-minded clinicians so that you're not building in isolation. Because when we get support for the work that we do, mental health care gets better for everyone. You can learn more about Alma and the awesome work they're doing over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. And if you go through that link, you get 2 months absolutely free just for STC listeners. That link again is over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. So broadly for me is 2 months on, 1 month off, summers off in November and December off. That's the cadence that has worked for our family. And the reason I would encourage it, presenting it that way, is again, because of this pod fading concept. And then also with something like podcasting that's so relational, what, you know, your listeners can feel when you are tired and burnt out of a podcast, of doing the podcast. And so you just, at the onset, you want to really think about like, what is energetically what makes the most sense for me? And again, this is something that makes sense for me and my family. So you ultimately have to figure out what makes the most sense for you. So the biggest thing I would just say, again, related to the longevity, is really think through a life first pace versus aggressive consistency. I think that aggressive consistency used to work really well in the early days of podcasting. But now with more and more podcasts out there, with in just generally more and more information out there, I think it's wise to think about a different cadence beyond just aggressive consistency. The third thing I wanted to share is around assets. And this is an area that I am exploring a lot, which is the hidden leverage of SEO and AI. And what I had been doing for at least as AI got popular here in the last year is I was like, you know, I'm already recording these podcast episodes. So I had my friend Dan Cumberland, who was a previous guest on the podcast. He created a SDC branding document for AI. So he took some of our most popular episodes, my LinkedIn posts that I had created, those kind of things. And essentially we feed this document into the AI, and it's then able to, and then after we feed the document, we feed a transcript of a podcast episode. And from that, we generate a blog post. So it is able then to replicate a lot of my voice. We always do a human fact check at the end. But essentially then we were creating blog posts for every podcast episode. So blog posts, YouTube video, and an audio. And we were putting it all together. What now, things have really changed, and my gut feel on this, and again, I think this stuff is so new, but my gut feel on this is AI is now able to read things like audio podcasts and YouTube videos. And so if we're creating blog posts off of YouTube videos, content that already exists, I do wonder if AI is now seeing that as duplicate content. And as you know, Google does not like duplicate content. So what am I doing? Our process now is I record both solo episodes and interview-based episodes, but I'll speak to solo episodes because I think this is probably what's going to be relevant for most of us in private practice, which is how do you sort of create authority and trust in a specific niche, right? So we record in Riverside. I use Zoom for a number of years. So if you're just getting started, Zoom is perfectly fine. Riverside is a complete game changer. It helps you organize your podcast. It creates shorts, a bunch of stuff like that. So I would highly recommend looking at Riverside to record your podcast. Riverside also generates the transcript from these recordings versus what I had to do previously, which was upload it to YouTube and then use YouTube's generated transcript. So it saves a little bit of time there. And then what I am starting to do, this is also my executive assistant that's primarily going to be handling this, which is we take that transcript, we run it through AI. So whether it's ChatGPT, Claude, whatever it is, and instead of just saying, hey, generate a blog post from this, what we're trying to say now is what I want you to do is extract insightful quotes that Mel has shared, listener intent questions. So basically questions that listeners might be asking or wondering about, and SEO aligned titles that are relevant. And what now I'm starting to do is I repackage all of that into thematic long form guides, not random blog posts. And the reason I have started to make this shift is I'm looking at our Google Analytics on the back end, and we definitely get traffic to our blog posts when we promote them in the weekly newsletter. But from a long tail perspective, I'm just not seeing as much traffic coming from those individual AI generated blog posts, even though they are a different form than an audio podcast and a video podcast. This also aligns with Google's EAT criteria. So this is EAT basically means experience. So are you sharing lived stories in your content? Are you sharing expertise, your knowledge, your credibility? Are you sharing authoritativeness? So do you have a track record of speaking to these topics? And then trustworthiness. Do you have a calm, honest tone when it comes to presenting something? My sense is most podcasters are skipping this, and I think that is the real opportunity. In wrapping up, just a little bit of a pro tip for you. One thing we're really starting to think about is building content clusters around major themes. So for example, podcasting, online courses, YouTube, those kind of things. Google loves this. It tells the algorithm, this person owns this topic. I'm actually starting the same exact process for Quiet Builder. So starting to really think through Quiet Builder guides so that Quiet Builder, one, gets connected to the work that I'm doing, but those guides then have the true SEO benefit. In wrapping up, so just again, the three ideas are trust, ROI you can't track, but you shouldn't ignore. Two, longevity, most people quit too soon. And assets, the hidden leverage of SEO and AI, and how to start thinking about that as you think about the ROI for your podcast. If you are a current or a future therapist podcaster who wants more than just content, toward the end of this year, in October of 2026, our accelerator in Haven is going to be podcasting SEO for therapists, and specifically how SEO is changing in the face of AI. We'll cover things like how to reverse engineer listener questions, how to pull insights and stories from your own transcripts, and how to build these evergreen guides that quietly compound. You can learn more about Haven over at sellingthecouch.com/Haven. So as a final reflection, just remember, podcasting ROI always doesn't show up where or when you expect it. But if you focus on trust, if you stay consistent, if you build the infrastructure, you will build something that compounds quietly and sustainably. You don't have to go viral. You just have to stay. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful, and just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.